that embryos or fetuses are produced in order to save a sibling that has already been born. So your own survival can be secured. But however, these would be human beings that exist, that are born or unborn. On the basis of a realistic idea of immortality, which creates a close link between embryology and human genetics, which again is the key to this context, which is a reference to itself as a transplantation and works in this framework. In Lederberg's formula, the basis of molecular biology, that is the information chain from DNA to RNA to the protein. And technical intervention into human development would happen at the level of these intervention. This also includes microelectronics at molecular structure. This is already being used, for example, when working with disabled patients, and it seems to be rather successful. And from here, we can continue with a question that concerns the topic that we're talking about here, the transplantation. So we basically can do away with the traditional concepts of genealogy, but also with the concept of traditional biology and human development. We can also leave out what should be included into the topic, biological psychiatry, which is just being discussed here in Berlin, and that's why we're having this conference this weekend. They're having their 7th World Congress. What strikes us is that traditional genealogy and psychiatry or biological psychiatry, it's very important to make a difference here. Leave this traditional field of neurogenetics. So the biological reproduction, the body basically is eliminated. The embryo, the fetus in the female womb. Well, this is a historical systematic analysis. But if you look at current politics, you see that there is a context. The context between human genetics, brain research, and embryology is a fundamental rupture, brings about a fundamental break with the paradigm of sex and the brain. Which is a result of the elimination of biology and reproduction. What rupture am I talking about? Do I have to remind you? It's very simple. The elimination of the, or taking away the generation of human life from the female body, 1971. That was a date where women went out on the street demonstrating for the right to have an abortion. IVF, in vitro fertilization, was done successfully for the first time where? In the UK, where fetuses are being slaughtered today. Robert Edwards starts transferring embryos. Parallel fight for abortion, for the right to have an abortion in Germany, ended with the result, with a positive result. There was a decision in favor of a social clause in 1976, but at a cost. The 14 days The first 14 days after the fertilization are sort of outlaw space, because the beginning of life was postponed because no other point in time would make sense for IVF. Because if it's not retransplanted into the uterus, the embryo cannot live. So a second beginning of life was introduced. This was valid from 76 to 93. That means that an abortion was allowed on the basis of the social clause, which was eliminated in 1993. And this created a sort of outlaw space for embryonic research. It's a good deal, isn't it? The women wanted it too. So this outlaw period was used for research. We have an embryo protection law in Germany, which says that no embryonic research is permitted without the objective of the child finally being born. But however, where there are no legal regulations, and these are the first 14 days, so we have a completely lawless zone. There is no legislation whatsoever concerning this period. And the medical board and other groups are thinking about optional and discussing about optional regulations. I think that it's very important to remember this date. It's an important date for human history. I don't know how many millions of years of human development we assume. I think 30,000 years or 30 million years before the Neanderthal human, and then the brain had achieved a certain size. But however, in comparison to the Neanderthal, the Homo sapiens has a very smaller has a very has a much smaller brain. Very interesting. But as far as we know, this is a date that has never existed before. This that the beginning of life can be done in a lab. So the beginning of life actually is procrastinated. And since 1993, but since 1993, the beginning of life was changed again, and this is what we heard in late May. And it doesn't make sense because, at the level of embryonic research, we're still operating with the second beginning of life, 14 days after fertilization. Since 1962, this embryonic research has been planned, and so we clearly see that in our German legislation there is a provision which allows for the postponing of the beginning of human life. We have this change in paradigms. And this is done at a point in time where we still have biological reproduction, but the beginning of life is postponed, and IVF exists, which is where the beginning of life is basically transferred back. So it starts from the actual fertilization, and you can look at what's going on and then choose whether you want to use this or whether you want to throw it away. So there are two forms of generating life. In biological reproduction, we have birth as the beginning of life. And in the transition of IVF to biological reproduction, we have the fertilization in vitro, then we transfer it back to the womb. And what we've known for thousands of years has been interrupted. So here we have this change in paradigms. And that brings about complications for the discussion about PID, because PID really is the heart of those problems, because it can apply to both. It can apply to IVF and to biological reproduction. Both exist in parallel at the moment. So what we call gene check selection, check the cells before they're transferred back or implanted into the womb, in the sense of an embryo transfer, this would be prenatal diagnostic. And we have prenatal diagnostic also in the context of biological reproduction. But at the same time, PID at the other level exists too. And this is where the legislation in the UK was passed. The law that embryonic research and cloning can be done for scientific reasons. That is scientific purposes. That is a third level. And the status of PID is different. What do we understand by PID? What are we examining? What is diagnosed? Something which is supposed to be implanted, obviously. For example, transferring back to the womb, but also PID is based on a totipotent cell. This is what Lederberg said too. Have heterozygotes which can develop if the embryo is transferred back, but can also become a plasticide, which can also be used as raw material. So this totipotent cell, this is the valuable material. That is what money is made with. And this is where there's also a lot of lying, and we're just sitting back and watching and hoping that the world will be okay. But at the same time, we see that in the UK it's already happening, that people are doing this and they are only looking at how much money they can make with it. PID, the totipotent cell, requires something which we already know from the press: embryonic splitting. It's basically the same process as when twins are born, but it's done in a lab. You could take two or three or several cells, but this one totipotent cell can produce everything, and you can split it without harming it. And it's really very amazing. So This is the important material. And this is how far the development has gone already. It's just for you to show you the scope of this. Generations have been working on this. They wanted this totipotent cell. They wanted to have this cell, and now they have it. And I just want to repeat it to make this very clear. This cell can be used if birth is intended. It can be used if the embryo is to be retransferred. It can also be used for basically spare parts, and it can be used for cloning. This is a third level where something completely new emerges. We have no reference whatsoever in biological reference. Consumption is said to be enormous, and they're even thinking about taking the ovaries of women who died in accidents. I mean, you don't need a lot of imagination. You can read it every day in the newspapers. And this is basically the last development in biological reproduction or producing an embryonic cell from which we can use the stem cells, and the stem cells can then be used to reproduce organs. These can be turned into lines. A line means that one cell from the liver, from the kidney, from whichever organ can be cloned the same way with the patented genome, which can always be used for this organ wherever the specific organ needs repair. It's basically an phase between pharmacology and medicine. And what's so funny about it, all the stem cell lines have already been patented by a US company, so it is impossible to use such a cell without a license. Of course, there's also a lot of organized crime involved with this. So governments needed to subsidize the research and the usability of stem cell lines. So we will really have such a city of cells like in Virchow as we had it in the 19th, as it was planned in the 19th century. So much for these three levels, which can be derived from taking the generation of life out of the female body. PID is the totipotent cell, then birth, and the plasticite, which gives over its stem hands over its stem cells, and then is then thrown away as the hull. I believe that nobody has ever shed any tears about an ovus. In any case, the development is there, and we had this outlaw space between 76 and 93, and now we're also talking about eugenic. The accumulation phase basically is over.
So the embryo sees the light of the world. Lederer talks about darkness in reproduction, here biological reproduction and its link to psychiatry. We're back full circle. So in this context, then, darkness can develop and become horror vacui. If we look at what Lederberg said, then we realize that 1962, the text that I already quoted from, at a point in time when the embryo was not yet out in the open, and Lederberg says embryology is in a situation similar to nuclear physics. It is now at its beginning, exclamation mark, similar to the intervention in the human brain. So here he has an exclamation mark and the comparison 8 years before embryon transfer begins, so the atomic bomb and the embryo outside of the female uterus. Both things are compared in its beginning, and the atomic bomb was developed 30 years later, and now, since 1962, that time has passed, and today the embryo outside the female uterus exists similar to a bomb. So this is the horror, and Philip Ariès, when talking about the painters of the 1950s, that is 5 years after after dropping the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, and I quote, "The painters seeing this collective massacre, torture, abuse," and he represents and presents that using the embryo as being the point of origin of that horror. End of quotation. So this is where we see a reversal of the human being. Lederbeck talks about the 180 centimeters of DNA. Here we now have the complete image and its origin, the 180 centimeters cover up, the monstrosity of that. However, 1953 was the point in time when both things were discovered, and that is when these paintings appear. So the coincidence of the atomic bomb, discovery of DNA, and U.S. Nuclear Research Commission sponsored that research, when we see this coincidence of these two things happening, then it becomes quite clear that there is a problem here which will lead to psychiatric problems, one would assume. But since this problem, namely taking out the embryo, namely taking the origin of life out of the female uterus, cannot be separated from the horror, and I'm slowly coming to a close. Nevertheless, I have to digress for a moment and make a link with psychiatry. I said we have to go back to antiquity, mythology, and imaging that I introduced as a metaphor, because it is the imaging technology that is used to create an image of the brain, otherwise we wouldn't know what it looks like. So this mythology is similar to a lightning streak, a flash. This is where the coincidence of embryo, DNA, and the atomic bomb are brought together in that one flash of the mind. Zeus kills Metis and then gives birth from his cranium to Athena. So, short meaning, long interpretation. And I did want to point out some of these things after all. So, these imaging technologies, what do they offer? First of all, the female is produced by the male. So the woman produced from the man's rib. The woman is young, she is degendered. This is presented by Mites being swallowed by Zeus. Zeus gave birth to Athena. God is that imaginary dimension of the human being, where the human being projects himself, and God holds the treasure of what life is all about, and therefore puts a ban on eating from that tree of life. And so it is the human being then wants to be God and uncovers that treasure. The horror, the darkness, and the flashes of darkness, as mentioned by Lederbach, is something that, by way of imagination, precludes the resting of the embryo from the female uterus. And going back to Zeus, Zeus swallows Metis, Metra, which is that uterus, which we have to distinguish from the hysteria, because hystera produces the male and the female. So Mitra is swallowed. Zeus then gives birth to Athena. She is the second individual, similar to Eva, which is secondary, which is produced after the first production. But not Athena is hysteric, because she was born by Zeus. So he swallowed Mitra, thus the hysteria, the uterus, goes to his head, and from his cranium he gives birth to Athena. Athena, then, the afterbirth, if you will, what is secondary after the fact is then repeated, meaning similar to the resting of the embryo from the female uterus. So the igniting of the atomic bomb could be seen as a giving birth from the cranium, and Oppenheimer calls that first atomic bomb baby. Now, what we see is that symbolic murder of the female is something that shocks. Mythologically, it is the swallowing of her gender, and Athena, which is degendered, she bears the emblem of the decapitated head on her shield, namely Gorgo. That's a different line of mythology, but this decapitated head gives rise to horror. Freud gives us that. So killing, that murder has to be repeated constantly. It is the murdering of the dead, yet it is worded as cranial birth. And if we continually have these metaphors, these birth-giving metaphors, and in the paintings of the 50s, we have many, many birth-giving metaphors representing the war. This is not something that led NATO to get involved in Macedonia, but here we have genetic improvement of human beings, which will do away with the female And that is then basically killing what has already been killed. We have the paradigm change now, that link between gender and the brain. And now you'll be surprised to hear this, but on a symbolic level, this holds true. In genealogy up to now, and in biological reproduction, gender was never deemed to be part of that. Zeus gives birth from his cranium. If we assume that Metra, whom he swallowed, was pregnant at the time, then an imaging technology means that you have direct transplantation from the brain to another brain. And since 1987, we have had that fetal technique practiced, and now we have embryonic stem cells, which are able to be an improvement of that. So, gender, which right from the beginning in gender differentiation was encoded in genealogy, is no longer true. When we look at the Old Testament, Jove gives birth to the male and the female. They do not give birth to themselves. They have to cover their sex, their genitalia. And then, however, we have the male as a representation of the brain of his creator, the man, the male. Projects his own creator. So, in other words, the human being, i.e., the male, takes on the position of his own creator, thus not dying, not being born. That is the objective, was the goal. Enlightenment gives rise to improvement visions of humankind, which then leads to a blocking out of the female, birth taking place within the test tube, and biological reproduction is then cancelled out, and the male is seen as body and mind, the female only as body and with a schizoid component, the male being origin of his very self. In psychiatry, we have the walls that are drawn up that at the same time, however, show what is inside and outside, and deviation is to be interpreted accordingly. Here we have Foucault, we have then the question, is it the nature of reason or is it the reason of nature? Is it the body of the mind? Is it the mind in the body? Is it the gender, which is then psychically interpreted in the 19th century? And here we have the human that then is able to and wants to improve itself from its origin, and being origin and object at one and the same time. Research in the 19th century was very much involved here, made a major contribution. We have the injury of the brain giving then rise to the functioning of the brain, legal developments, medical developments, and then passing judgment on those who deviate from that, then making no distinction between therapy and punishment. This crossroads where the legal system and medicine meet, this in the 19th century brings forth something that is purported to be an improvement, whereas the relationship between reason and nature now shifts and moves in the direction of scientization of life. So bios, logos, biology, and Foucault looking at the 19th century, similar to, and the policy around that, similar to molecular biology, where then Foucault says that is where we go beyond the threshold of enlightenment, namely to the degree that the political realm sees positive, negative eugenics as being the new strategy with which to improve humankind. And that's the context. When we look at the 19th, 20th century and all the positions were maintained, and here Berlin, of course, is instrumental, and this is where, of course, the World Congress is also banking on that. In this context, neurobiology and hereditary biology are picking up these issues once again, and neurobiology is the precursor of biological psychiatry today. It crops up at that point in time that I just mentioned. So neurobiology, between neurology and hereditary biology, somewhere in that crack is where it is introduced, and somewhere between medicine and legal studies. Yet at this crossroads of legal studies and medicine, where there's always judgment that is passed and where therapy always is turned into punishment, otherwise you would have to totally reconstrue that. So it lodges itself somewhere there at that intersection, and state racism, and Foucault talks about this. So state-perpetrated racism, to the extent that biologization of social processes takes place, and the state takes on the function that should be performed by psychiatry by assuming that task of performing improvement on humankind. So biological psychiatry in this context is where it is set up as a discipline, and together with the state and its racism. So 1910, 1920, even before that, therapy was seen as punishment and converting punishable behavior into therapeutable behavior. Then we have sterilization, we have medical experiments, euthanasia, and so on. There is no doubt about the origins of this. However, just to slowly come to a close, today there is no doubt whatsoever that between national socialism and today, there is a major breach, a breach to the extent of what genealogy has developed into, to the degree that human development is now technically guided and controlled, and biological reproduction is now thwarted, and we see these developments on the level of public policy. So the question arises, biological psychiatry, what position will it take on today and at its 7th World Congress taking place here in Berlin today? It sees itself as the gateway to the 21st century, and this conference tells us that it is part of the medical field and is even its backbone. So in other words, the vertical line of institutions, the backbone, the molecular medical study being the horizontal line, and so between human genetics and embryology, it lodged itself in between those two. If you see that, the vertical, the backbone, which is what biological psychiatry purports to be, the horizontal line, the molecular study, where per gene a particular case can be construed, and Lederberg then comes in again, under the condition that biology of bodies on the whole is something that has become a major deviation. So in other words, very pleased to have you here sitting in your own bodies still. But biological psychiatry already assures everyone now, and I quote from the brochure of the 7th Congress, namely that they will continue to uphold the principles of treatment of mental illness. This mental illness, quote unquote, and quoting Kant, reason will understand only what it itself created. Thank you.